I gave the brother two passages. It was up to him to choose whichever of these passages he wanted to share with you, because both passages deal with the same subject. Both passages deal with the rock of ages. The brother had read the one from 1 Corinthians. I'm going to ask if he will to read the one from 1 Peter chapter 2. And he can read from verse 6 through 8 or verse 4 through 8.
Unto whom coming a living stone.
Start again.
Unto whom coming a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with God elect precious. Let me switch to the King James Version. To whom coming as unto a living stone.
You're right, reading it from the right version, Lord Brother.
As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men.
Disallowed indeed of men.
But chosen of God and precious.
But chosen of God, and this stone is precious.
Ye also.
You Christians.
As lively stones.
You are also stone that are alive.
Are built up a spiritual house.
You comprise a house that is spiritual.
And holy priesthood.
You comprise a priesthood that is holy.
To offer up spiritual sacrifices.
The purpose for which the Almighty God has called you as priest is to offer up spiritual sacrifice. Wait, that's one of the things we do when we worship. We are. Every time we come out to worship, morning, noon, or night, we are offering up spiritual sacrifices. Read.
Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore also, it is contained in the scriptures.
It is contained in the scripture.
Behold. I lay in Zion. A chief cornerstone. Elect.
This stone is elect.
Precious.
This stone is precious.
And he that believeth on him.
Anyone who believes on this stone.
Shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore.
Unto you the believers.
Which believe he is precious.
Jesus Christ, the stone, the rock, is precious.
But unto those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed,
their rejection of Jesus Christ,
the same is made the head of the corner.
They are going to desperately need him one day.
And a stone of stumbling.
He is a stone of stumbling.
And a rock of offense.
Jesus Christ is a rock of offense.
Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed.
So today, we have the first of three or four lessons. When the scriptures speak of stone or rock. Among the first thing it wants to impress on our mind is stability, security, safety and certainty. Whenever the Bible speaks of rock or stone, the primary impression it wants to leave is, as I said, stability, security, safety, and certainty. The Almighty God, in helping us, His people, to understand His ways, His will, to understand His plan, His purpose, the Almighty God used symbols. The Almighty God used imagery. The Almighty God used metaphor. That's figure of speech. To teach and open our eyes and understanding to His will and His ways. These metaphors as used in the Bible, for example, when the Bible describes Jesus Christ as a rock or a stone, that's a figure of speech. Jesus Christ is not stone. That's a figure of speech that we refer to as a metaphor, where one reality is transferred to another to help us to get what the speaker is saying to us. So, the Almighty God use these figures of speech, imagery, metaphors to teach us and open our eyes to understand His will and His ways. These figures of speech, these symbols, these metaphors are not used idly. The Almighty God didn't just feel good and said, let me use this or that. No. When the Almighty God uses inspired writer to use these words to get across to us meaning and understanding of Himself and of Jesus Christ, the Almighty God had important lessons and messages He wants to impress upon us. And that is to impress upon us in respect to the person of Jesus Christ. To impress upon us in respect to the work of Jesus Christ. Impress upon us in respect to the mission of Jesus Christ. One of the great metaphors are figures of speech used to tell us about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the metaphor rock or stone. And as we all know, one of the great songs of all times is Rock of Ages. Cleft for me. Jesus Christ is in fact the rock of ages. The passage the brother read from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 1 to 4, that was first read, is about that fact. Notice what the Bible teaches. Let us hear it again in 1 Corinthians.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye be that ye should be ignorant.
I don't want you to be ignorant.
How that all our fathers were under the cloud.
All our fathers were under the cloud.
And all passed through the sea.
And all passed through the sea.
And were all baptized unto Moses.
Stop there a minute, brother. May I? Have you noticed, brothers and sisters, that what the brother has here read, are we all there, was written some 54, 60 A.D. May I? But the incident took place from 1400 B.C. That is what the brother has just read. That the Israelite crossing the Red Sea with the clouds over them on the sea on both sides was a baptism. Huh? You know what I find striking? The Almighty God did not enlighten anyone about that for some 1400 years. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? It was not until Paul came along, or until the New Testament came along, that we, for the first time, realized that what Israel went through was a baptism. The Almighty God chose then, under the New Testament dispensation, to reveal it to the church. That it was in fact a baptism. Notice the inclusiveness of it. All.
And were all baptized.
Were baptized. Wait, did you get that? Not some. All those who are going to be, were going to be identified as God's people had to be baptized. Everyone. If they're going to experience the transition, that change, where they were going to be changed from Egyptian slaves to God's free people, they had to be baptized. I don't charge you for that. I'm a very kind man. Read on, brother.
And did all eat the same spiritual meat.
Mm-hmm.
And did all drink the same spiritual drink.
Uh-huh.
For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them.
Notice, they drank up. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? They drank the rock? No, us. That is from. They drank from that spiritual rock that followed them.
And that rock was Christ.
Was Jesus Christ. Amen. You got it? That the 1400 years of traveling by the Israelites, Jesus Christ was with them all along. Not just for a week, for a month. Are we all there? The rock that followed them was Jesus Christ. Christ is the rock. And he's the rock of ages. May I? Christ. Well, first, what Paul is speaking about here is first stated in the passage of Exodus chapter 14, 17 and verse 6. Let us hear, quick brother.
Exodus 14,
17.
Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock.
You shall smite the rock.
And there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding and the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not?
There's so much to share from this lesson, but we want to, as much as we can, stay with the central point, because there's so much to learn from Jesus Christ being the rock or the stone. For the first time, the Israelite murmur with Moses and Aaron because they were thirsty. And they also blamed the Almighty God. In fact, the question came up in the text, is God among us? If he is, where is he? Look what we are going through. They chided, they murmur against God. This was the situation under which the Almighty God said to Moses, come to this point. Read verse 6 again, brother.
Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock.
You shall smite the rock.
And there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink.
As we go along, we are going to look at the fact there are at least two smitten. Two smitten rocks. Now, one of these smite or striking of the rock is quite significant, while one is a breach. When the Bible referred to Jesus Christ as the smitten rock, that has great meaning for you and me and our salvation. But most likely that will come up next week. Jesus Christ is God's smitten rock. It is when the rock was smitten that the water of life flowed from the rock to meet the desperate need of the children of Israel. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? It is the same way that when Jesus Christ is smitten, that he's going to provide salvation for us. But what about the other smitten? What about the other time when the rock was struck? We will look into that next week. Brothers and sisters, Christ is described as precious stone. We must be mindful that priceless, valuable stone are gems, are also called stones. We must ever remember that. In Shakespeare, if my memory serves me right, it is Richard the Third, written by William Shakespeare. And in there, few lines goes like this. I thought I saw wedges of gold, great anchors, heaps of pearls, inestimable stones. That is stone without, they are so valuable, you cannot put any estimate on them. Quotation continue. Inestimable stone and valued jewels. This is precious stone, diamonds, gold, that Shakespeare in Richard the Third is talking about here. One theologian pointed out that one of the great that is now is part of the scepter of the Queen of England. It is called the Stars of Africa. It is without price. All these are stones. So when Jesus Christ is described as a precious stone, that's a natural thing. Jesus Christ is not just an ordinary stone, but is a precious stone. Let us run to a passage here found in the book of Psalms 118 and verse 22. Let us hear that quick. Let us hear it.
The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner.
Read that again.
The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner.
May I have your attention? It is pointed out by historian and theologian that this quotation in Psalms from David is founded upon actual event. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. Read it again, brother.
The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner.
Again, it is said that this is founded upon actual events. It is pointed out by theologian and archaeologists that when Solomon was building the temple, the first stone that came from up in the hill, from the quarry, the first stone that came down was remarkably shaped, and that the builders did not know what to do with the stone. So they had the stone dragged away. And over periods of weeks and months, as the temple was in building, it was covered by debris. By this time, they did not know that it was the main architect that Solomon had on the building that had gone up with men to have that stone prepared. And brought down, the builders on the site didn't know. And therefore, they had it shoved one side until when the temple progressed to a point, they realized that the stone that they had dragged and shoved one side had the actual shape to build the two, or rather to support the two main central side of the temple. So when David wrote the stone which the builder refused is become the head of the corner. That this is not just David's imagination. Of course, inspiration is involved here. It is no accident or chance that rock or stone is used as a metaphor of the Son of the Almighty God. One theologian said, and I quote, surely it could have been known other than the Spirit of God who gave the sacred writer so apt a metaphor of the Son of God. He is truly the living stone. One other theologian said, for Jesus Christ is many kinds of stone. Jesus Christ is many kinds of stone. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? Jesus Christ is the living stone. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the rejected stone. Jesus Christ is the smitten stone. Jesus Christ is the stone of stumbling. Jesus Christ is the rock of offense. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the tried stone. Jesus Christ is the growing stone. Brother Mitchell, how can a stone grow? Next week, come and learn more about that. But not only is Jesus Christ the growing stone, Jesus Christ is the stone cut out of the mountain without hand. Brothers and sisters, do you know that in that? When Daniel saw that and interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream about a stone that was cut out without hand, that was revealing to us about Jesus Christ. Did you know that that was telling us of the miraculous way that Jesus Christ would come into the earth? Did you know that when Daniel saw the stone cut out of the mountain without hand, the Almighty God was telling history that here is the Son of God, whose advent on this earth would be unlike any other being that ever come this place. Jesus Christ coming here would have no match, no equal. Jesus Christ coming to this world would be as miraculous as seeing a rock cut out, it has shape, and all of that, yet it was not done by any hand. Ladies and gentlemen, may I? The Bible talks about not only a stone cut out without hand. Notice the metaphor or the imagery in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22 to 24.
And all things.
Well, let me hear verse 42, brother.
Jesus said unto them,
mm-hmm.
Did ye never read in the scriptures
The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Lord's doing,
mm-hmm.
and it is marvelous in your eyes.
Read on.
Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof.
What verse are you?
43.
Read on.
And whosoever shall fall on this stone.
Now, notice this imagery, the same metaphor, a stone. But two different imagery is coming out here. Read, brother.
And whosoever shall fall on this stone.
Whosoever shall fall on this stone.
Shall be broken.
Shall be broken.
But on whomsoever it shall fall.
Mm-hmm.
It will grind him to powder.
What an imagery. Whosoever fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whoever this stone fall, the stone going to grind that person or that thing to powder. Brother Mitchell, what is that talking about? Well, for one, it's talk about Jesus Christ. How does one fall on Christ? How does Jesus Christ fall on one? Where do you and I come in the picture? We'll look at that next week. Remember, this week's lesson is only an introduction. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, as I said, is the rock of ages. Quickly, brother, let us hear again, just quickly, the passage of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 3 and 4.
And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink,
mm-hmm.
for they drank of that spiritual rock
mm-hmm.
that followed them,
mm-hmm.
and that rock was Christ.
May I? Throughout the history, 1,400 years of history of the Israelites, as I've stated, it was years of struggle for the Israelites. It was years of contending with all sorts of foes and all sorts of enemies. Jesus Christ was the spiritual rock that followed Israel for these many years. Not only that, Jesus Christ was the author. Jesus Christ was not only the author, Jesus Christ was the source of all their blessings in every period of their lives, throughout the time that they contend with the different enemies that they had to contend with. Listening this for us is, God's people in olden times, are we there? And still is, are divinely led and divinely fed. That is one of the lessons in this. That they were not only led by God, they were fed by God. And this is saying to us today, that as you and I go through life and face the different challenges, the different enemies. And here I'm not talking about human enemies. Financial destitution can be an enemy. Sickness can be an enemy. Bad experiences can be an enemy. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, that we, like the Israelites, one of the main lessons that the Holy Spirit in the Apostle Paul wants us to get is that God's people, in the same way they were led by God in the past, miraculously led, and miraculously fade. Today, God might not be doing it miraculously, but He's doing it providentially. God will not abandon His people. Are we all there? But there is another lesson here that you must not miss. And that is, the things which happened to the Israelites are to be looked upon by us, not merely as interesting historical events. Wait. Whenever you and I read about the Israelites' journey and all the problems and challenges and ups and downs that they face, we must not just put it one side and say, those were historical events. The Apostle Paul in the passage of Corinthians is telling us that they are more than historical events. He's telling us that they are rather we should see them as having typical meaning and lesson for us. Whenever you and I read about the history of the Israelites, the Almighty God is saying to you and me, I am teaching you something. Learn what God is teaching you. Brothers and sisters, there's one or two more points before the lesson, today's lesson, become yours. Let us run to the passage of Romans chapter 9. And somebody run to the passage of Isaiah chapter 8 and Isaiah 28. Isaiah 8. Let us first hear Romans 9:32 and 33.
Wherefore?
Mm-hmm.
Because they sought it not by faith,
mm-hmm.
but as it were by the works of the law.
Mm-hmm.
For they stumbled at the stumbling stone.
They stumbled, Jonathan, at the stumbling stone. Why did the Almighty God describe Jesus Christ as a stumbling stone? Read, brother.
As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
I'm going to wrap up with these passages before us in a few minutes. In Romans chapter 9, 32 and 33, the inspired Apostle Paul is fusing two passages from the book of Isaiah. I repeat, in these two verses in Romans, the Holy Spirit speaking in Paul fuse or mesh two passages. Taken, one is from Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14 and 15. The other one is from Isaiah 28 and verse 16. Those two passages came together in Romans chapter 9, verse 32 and 33. Now, look at Isaiah 8:14. Don't hold up the lesson, brother. Time for us to finish.
And he shall be for a sanctuary.
Jesus Christ shall be for a sanctuary.
But for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense. To both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
That sounds confusing. That sounds confusing. First, in Isaiah 8:14, Jesus Christ is going to be a sanctuary. Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? That means Jesus Christ shall be a hiding place to those who run to Jesus Christ, seeking for help. But in the same Isaiah 28:16, let us hear it.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone.
He's a tried stone.
A precious cornerstone.
A precious cornerstone.
A sure foundation.
A sure foundation.
He that believeth shall not make haste.
Anyone who believes on Jesus Christ shall not panic. But what about those who do not believe on him? Chapter 8, verse 15 helps us with that.
And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken.
Brothers and sisters, these are not just passages speaking in hyperbole and just saying no. They are saying something. And you know what? They are speaking to you and me today. Because this passage is telling how men and women will find Jesus Christ. To some of us, Jesus Christ will be a sanctuary. Meaning a sacred hiding place. For others, Jesus Christ will be the rock of offense. When the Bible talks about those who believe on him shall not make haste. Make haste means that you will not run from him in a panicky way. The passage is in the same time telling us that men and women will panic depending and how they respond to Jesus Christ. Christ is a touchstone. Are we all there? By which all men and women are judged and measured. Jesus Christ tests every human character that hears about Jesus Christ or hear about the gospel. Every time you hear about Jesus Christ, you are being examined. You are being tested. Today, it is not a case that you came to church and you hear about Christ, the Son of God, the Rock of Ages, and you didn't make a decision. You made a decision. No man confronts Christ and the gospel and walks away unaffected. No man or woman. By his very nature, Jesus Christ tests every character that hears about Christ and the gospel. By his very nature. And that's what passage like Isaiah 8, 14 and 15, Isaiah 28 and verse 16. That's what they're about. Jesus Christ is, in fact, the touchstone that measure and judge every human being that come in contact with the gospel. That includes you and me today. How you respond to Jesus Christ. Now, not tomorrow. Because you may never hear another gospel message. But how you respond to Jesus Christ now, today. When you walk through that door, never tell yourself that you didn't make a decision. you would have made that decision. The gospel of Jesus Christ would have been analyzing and measuring you. And a verdict from God would have been written, gone down in eternal reality about you. If you didn't hear another message that Jesus Christ was sent in the world to save you, but you responded in defiance, in disobedience, and in rejection, if you didn't hear another message, you would have made a decision. May I? When you hear, when you meet, when you are confronted by Christ and the gospel, you are never the same again. Never. Never. Jesus Christ does not leave any of us the way He met us. He is the touchstone of human character. You're always being analyzed and being judged. When you hear about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when you hear about the gospel, the good news, that the Almighty God sent Jesus Christ into the world to save you, but that Jesus Christ is either for your salvation or for your condemnation, you will determine what He will be for you. Is He going to be your salvation or is He going to be your condemnation? You would have helped the Almighty God to make that decision about you today. Right now. So don't ever fool yourself that you come to church and you didn't make any decision. You made a decision. Could I close with one passage here, brother? Let us hear it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 15 and 16. 2 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16.
For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?
Are we all there? The gospel of Jesus Christ here is like unto cologne. Country people call it Essence. A perfume. That's what it is like here. I wanted to end the message, but because this illustration or this passage is so much a part of today's lesson, I didn't want it to come into next week's lesson. Did you hear what the brother read? Read it again.
For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ.
Those of us who preach and teach the gospel in its purity, we are carrying sweet smell. We are carrying God's sweet odour, sweet cologne. Read on.
In them that perish are saved, in them that are saved, and in them that perish.
We are, our perfume is being smelled by two groups. Those who are
saved.
Saved.
And in them that perish.
And those who are on their way to hell. That's what the passage is teaching. Now, it's the same perfume. But for one of the group, It is a perfume of what, brother?
Sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor.
That's what I want. To one we are the perfume. That the word savior means a perfume, a cologne.
We are the savor of death unto death.
To one we are the cologne of death
unto death. And the other the savor of life unto
life. To the other we are the perfume of life. Mr. Mitchell, can that make sense? That's all this thing. I've illustrated here in the past that it was a custom that when the Roman went out and fought war, and the Romans were victorious, as the Romans returned to Rome in triumph, and the general who won that victory, you had the heathen priests with their censer going before the general and was flashing the perfume to the victorious Roman soldier. That perfume means victory. When they smell it, when the Roman soldier smells that, it reminds them of the great victory they have just had. But to the conquered army, chain around their hands, chain around their feet. When they smell that perfume, it reminds them that many of them were going to their final death, or many of them were going to be enslaved. The same one cologne had different effect on the two different sets of audience. The Bible says the gospel is like that. To the men and women who are saved, when you hear the gospel, it is good news. To men and women who are lost, it is bad news. But you can determine what it will be for you. Jesus Christ is our rock of ages. Is He your rock of ages? Today you can make Jesus Christ your Lord, your Savior. Today the gospel can be a sweet perfume to you, as well as it can be a perfume of death to you. And if you ever feel to go and read over the passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Did I say verse 16 and
15 and 16.
15 and 16. Very interesting passage. Right now, if you're here today, if you have never been baptized for the removal of your sin, to make Jesus Christ your safe haven, your safe rock, today you can step forward believing, repenting, confessing Christ's name, and getting baptized. If you are a backslider, a Christian who are grown unfaithful, today you can step forward, recommitting your life to Jesus Christ. Make Jesus Christ your rock of ages today as we stand and sing.